Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we try and answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. My name is Marcus. Chris is here.
I'm back in the habit.
And Sarah's here.
I absolutely am.
And you're here, ladies and gentlemen. A lovely little nod to Sister Act 2 there by Chris, which is always preferable in my book. Now, ladies and gentlemen, daily routines and rituals can be helpful, but sometimes we can go too far with our individual behaviours, of course. We all have free will to choose what we want to do, but how much of what we do is down to our choice or to our learned and thus habitual behaviour? Mm. So then, ladies and gentlemen, this week we're asking, are we creatures of habit?
Oh, I definitely, definitely am. No doubt about it. I really struggle if I am not doing something that's habitual. Like,
is that right?
Yeah, like if anything gets in the way. Okay, so I think the perfect example, and I feel like probably there are a lot of people out there who will feel me on this one, is the morning routine.
Go on.
My habits are so ingrained. Like, I wake up at a certain minute past the hour, and I know by, you know, X point, like 27 minutes past, I need to be in the shower. And if I'm even a few minutes off, if anything goes wrong, I'm just absolutely screwed. And it makes me so stressed.
Is that because you push everything to the last minute?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So you're just like, I'm not getting out of bed until the last second, and then I need to go, go, go.
No, to be fair, I've actually got much better with that. I don't do that anymore, but it still means that, like, I have, like, X minutes leeway, and it just, if it's not in order, then it just really stresses me out.
I see. So how are you? So you'll have had to have changed your routine, as everybody has, because of the situation. We're recording from our homes. We're recording remotely, which is the first time that we've done this, of course.
Yeah, I miss your faces, guys.
That's very cool. We miss yours as well. Some people might be struggling at the moment because their daily habits have been broken. How are you getting on with that, Sarah?
Oh, my goodness.
You have to create new ones, I suppose.
Yeah. You know what? I really have. Although, I tell you what, the thing I don't miss is my commute now is approximately 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Which I'm very pleased with. I mean, everything else has all absolutely fallen apart, but I am enjoying the working from home in terms of I have been able to shave my kind of routine down a lot. My routine, Chris.
Christopher.
You've been spending too much time on your own.
Yeah, what's your most disgusting habit?
Just because you're not that... Unbelievable. Chris... Moving on very swiftly. Are you
I've gone stir crazy on my own. Yeah, I definitely am. Yeah. But my habit isn't necessarily tied to the clock like Sarah's is. So it doesn't, but I still need to go through this the same sort of processes. It's like waking up. I always pick up my phone. Like pick up the phone, check a few sort of key websites every time. Then I have to do my teeth straight away because I feel sick if I don't do it straight away.
Mm-hmm. And that's so a good habit though.
Yeah. Strong coffee next. I have to have a strong coffee. Mm-hmm. Then I have what, you know, I like to call quiet time, which for me is, you know, prayer, reading the Bible. Then I'll have a shower. Then I'll change into real clothes. Then I'll eat. Then my day will start. But that doesn't matter what time process happens.
Can you do that in a different order?
Okay. Waking up, I have to do first.
Can you?
Ooh.
All right.
I think I'm going through it. The phone. I don't know. It's just, I probably would feel weird if I didn't do the phone. I could probably swap doing my teeth for after coffee. It'd probably improve my coffee, actually. Maybe the shower and change goes last after breakfast. It's not set, but it's definitely, that's probably what I just do every day without fail. So yeah, I am a creature of habit at the start of the day, but the rest of the day can be whatever life brings.
Yeah, well, the answer to the question is that we are creatures of habit. I mean, there's no two ways about that. And habits, as you've just described there, they get us through the day, essentially. About 43% of everyday actions are done repeatedly, almost every day, in the same context without us even thinking about them. So when you're doing all that stuff, you're on autopilot. Yeah. Which is mad to think that for a huge part of the day, most of the decisions you're making, you're on autopilot. Even something like driving, you're not consciously thinking, or walking, you're not consciously doing it. You know you're doing it, you're aware. So I'm not saying you're like a robot, but that's how kind of habitual we are.
Do you remember doing your theory driving test? Do they still do that, by the way? Like the theory test.
Yeah, I think so.
On that one, they said that like some crazy percentage, I don't know, 99% of all accidents, it won't be that, but it happens within a mile of your home because you're so used to being on autopilot near your house, you're not actually thinking at all. So, yeah.
Yeah, there absolutely. Yeah, if you do defensive driving courses, very much so. If you do a defensive driving course, one of the things that is very, very difficult to do is you have to drive around and speak out everything you're doing to the instructor.
That sounds so stressful.
Oh, it is. And it's very, very difficult. I've not actually done it, but I know a good friend of mine instructs on these courses and says that when the person's driving, you are literally going, right, I'm now going down to second gear and I'm taking the corner. I'm going round the corner. Now I'm going back up to third gear and I'm going to overtake the cyclist onto the right side. I'm indicating. Jeez. You have to speak out everything. And it's so, so difficult because when you actually have to engage your brain into your kind of habit, if you see what I mean, it's incredibly difficult, and people do struggle with that because again you go on autopilot. You know, that's what we do. We're such creatures of habit for somebody to point out that is a habit, you're just doing that, it can kind of messes with you a little bit.
Well, have you ever tried brushing your teeth with the other hand?
Oh my goodness!
Oh my, like Love it that. Is. Impossible. It's just not possible. Yeah. Even though you're like, you know what you need to do, you know, it's the exact same actions, but your body is just like, we don't do it this way. This is not how we've ever done it. No, I can't do it.
I've not tried it. I'll do it tomorrow morning.
Do it tomorrow morning.
Yeah. Blimey. Well, I remember, this is going to sound so stupid, but when you're used to something so much and somebody so language can be a big thing if somebody says something in a different order. So what do you call the game where you either on three or after three make a shape with your hand in the form of something in which you could trump the other person? What do you call that game?
Rock, paper, scissors.
Okay. Yeah. So I have always called it paper, scissors, stone.
No, you and when haven't.
I have, honestly. No. And when I said, yeah, because I'm English.
Because you grew up in a
stone
cave.
Here.
No.
Well, I grew up
that's
in Scotland.
Not real.
You know.
Marcus used to
play
honestly,
bro, paper, scissors, stone. And I used to win most of the time.
Yeah.
It really kind of like, as you've just proved there, because you're so used to hearing it in a certain way. The first time and only time I was in Spain somewhere and a guy said to me, oh, I went to England, yeah, I had chips and fish. And what? Oh, you mean fish and chips? And he was like, yeah, that's what I said. And it was like,
there's loads
I was like,
of
yeah,
these,
that yeah, it really kind of, I had to convert chips and fish to fish and chips because I couldn't quite get on board. How ridiculous is that?
It's back to the patty episode.
I'm sure.
Indeed. Oh, no, I wasn't hungry. I was furious.
Fork and knife is another one.
No,
I hear
I'm
people
sure
say
a
that.
Name for this. Yeah. Where it's just it. Like, it's to do with like the way, something to do with like the way the words sound. If I was a smarter person, I'd remember what I'm sure there's a name for it where it's just like, something to do with the kind of the way the words are formed and the way the sound comes out. It just is wrong to the human brain to hear it the other way around.
Indeed, indeed. Well, going back to our habits and our sort of daily rituals, if you like, a study by the recruitment consultants Office Angels surveyed 1,500 office employees and found that 49% of workers always use the same toilet cubicle at work, even if it means waiting for it to become vacant.
What?
That's madness.
Nah, I, like
I am in the 50, I'm in the 51% there. I think that is ridiculous behavior. 38% will drink only out of their favorite mug. Sarah, that's definitely you.
I do have a favorite mug.
Yeah, and then 74% paint their name on office belongings such as rulers and staplers, which I find ridiculous behavior. No, I'm in the minority there.
Stick it in a load of jelly.
Well, the yeah. Well, reasons for these findings are some try to make themselves feel more at home, which helps them with coping with the stresses and challenges faced in the workplace. But most people in the study said that their behavior helped them kind of keep their morale up, and it, as I say, help them feel more at home and less stressed ultimately. And they felt, I suppose it gives them a little bit of control, you know, and people.
Yeah, I think control's,
you know,
a good
bit calmer.
And also just that thing of like the fear of the unknown, even if the unknown is, I've never used the end toilet cubicle, but it's like, if you feel
or a different mug.
You know. Oh no, but seriously, if you have the wrong mug for your drink, it ruins it.
I have particular mugs for my drinks, but I have a reason for them. I think like it needs to be the right thickness and or the right sort of size. But I don't think that's a habit thing. That's just logic. To me, it is anyway.
Yeah. Well, quite. But yeah, I mean, there could be a bit of logic. I mean, I understand that you may use your own mug because any other mug that's being used could be dirty or something.
Contaminated.
Or you, yeah, especially, well, in this current climate, then yes, perhaps you should use your own mug, you know. So it's not all, but it doesn't mean to say this is bad habits or bad behaviour. I mean, it can be a bit stupid if you're waiting for a cubicle to be free and you're bursting when there's one empty. That might be a bit
daft. That's being irrational.
Yeah.
Do you?
I think so. Well, go on.
I was going to say, do you have any sporting sort of rituals or sort of superstitions, or have you guys ever had anything like, or you know, is a footballers before they go on the pitch will famously do certain things, won't they? Have you guys ever had anything like that before you do something? You have to have gone through a ritual.
Yeah, I would, but yeah, superstitions are a bit different. I mean, Paul Gascoigne had to be the last one out of the dressing room before going on to the pitch.
Yeah,
so but like, that's a
have
bit
you guys
mad
ever had
or
any?
I make a point of never playing sport.
That's the ritual. If you find yourself on the sporting field, then your ritual's failed you. You've gone
to
wrong
run
somehow.
Off.
Exactly,
the habit's been broken.
Exactly. Anytime I ever get asked to play a game of tennis, I, you know, tap my left foot three times, and I know it won't happen.
You hit you over the head, you hit yourself over the head hard enough to make sure that you're unable to compete. You sound a bit like I think it was Oscar Wilde who said, "Whenever I have the urge to exercise, I lie down until that urge has passed." Or somebody tweeted the other day, because obviously in the UK the government have said, you know, you can go out once a day in the current lockdown phase that we've moved into. You can go out once a day for exercise, and someone tweeted, "Is that exercise compulsory?"
Although I definitely feel like I want to exercise more now that I've told I'm not allowed to go outside.
Well, yeah, the
thing of like, I mean, you can't do something, and I'm like, I want to run a marathon.
Yeah, I'll show you. Oh dear. But no, I mean, I suppose my ritual, Chris, would be. But this is really kind of crappy, and again, there's a lot of logic here, but it would be to have a warm-up and a stretch, because if I don't, then I really feel it when
that's
it starts
a good
playing.
Habit.
So it's not really what I think, it's not really getting to the essence of what you were perhaps asking, Chris. Well, what about yourself? Do you have
I used to play football, I used to have to clean my boots on the morning of a football match. I am a Blackburn fan, and I remember hearing that Alan Shearer used to have chicken and beans before every game. So I'd have to have that for my lunch before I played football. And if not, if you disrupt those routines, even as a left back, I didn't think I was going to play very well like Shearer. So like, it was weird. Like as a kid, I was like, and I think I did have a pair of boxer shorts that I was like, I need to wear them on the day of the game as well. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
You get into
rituals and. Well, those routines, like Gareth Southgate drummed it into the England players when taking penalties about doing your routine. which helped them. Like Harry Kane had his routine, didn't he? Whenever he took a penalty for England, it would involve walking over to the spot, picking the ball up, doing it in a certain way. And when England played Colombia in the World Cup, the Colombian players were trying to protest and get in his way. So he, a few times, was going to do his little routine and it got interrupted. So what you do is, on that, you know, very pressured environment, you then stop and you start the routine again, and you do it until you can go, because and that is the calm, that is to try and get into a kind of healthy mindset and a good habit of not letting nerves or I don't know, negative thoughts get in the way and so on. So yeah, it's quite interesting when you get to the kind of minutiae on the sports field, all this kind of
stuff.
It's almost
like a self-soothing kind of thing, isn't it? Of being like to center yourself and kind of focus yourself.
Get into your happy place.
Yeah, but that's what people do all the time. Yeah. Well, it is, Chris. You're right. That's what people do. People want a mug that at work because it, I don't know, it just gives them that little bit of comfort. But you can extrapolate this out, you know, to sort of a slightly bigger picture. Most people who were studied, 69% of the people in this study we were just talking about, admitted that they stand in the same place on the platform each morning on their way to work and find themselves making a dash for the same seat on the train. Now, wow. I get the fact that you may want to stand at a certain part of the platform, especially on the London Underground and other kind of networks, where you know your stop, you're going to get out the right side next to the stairs or something like that. But I may have said this before on one of these pods, forgive me, but it's definitely relevant now. A friend of mine back in our village in Surrey, where I grew up a little bit, he said that he usually drove to work, and on one occasion he got the train into work, and he got on the on a particular carriage at random because he wasn't used to getting on the train for his commute. And he sat down in a seat, and a guy actually came up to him on a public train and said, "I'm sorry, you're in my seat."
No,
really?
Yeah,
isn't
that mad?
Like, I can understand, like, you know, say you normally sit somewhere and one morning someone's sitting there and in your head you're kind of like, oh, you don't go over to them and say, that's my seat. We're not on the school bus anymore.
Gosh, yeah. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
Yeah, we're at the back of the bus.
Speaking of school, though, did you not always find, though, in school or even at university, if you went into a classroom and you all sat down everywhere, especially at school, that was the new class, that tended to be where the seats would then just go. Like, you wouldn't, the next day or week or whatever it would be, people didn't mix it up that much. People
were a bit like, no, that's your area.
Set in stone, yeah.
It's a while ago, but I can't remember if we were also not allowed to move around. I can't remember if, like, at school the teachers, maybe because they couldn't remember our names half the time, if, like, we had to sit on particular, like, tables. But definitely at lunchtimes. At lunchtimes, you would always want to go and sit at the same places, or you'd, you know, again, for probably more for you, Marcus, than you, Sarah, but when you play football with your mates or whatever in the playground, there'd be a certain spot that you guys would always want to go to. You wouldn't want to go anywhere else. It would just feel weird.
Yeah, quite possibly, yeah.
Sorry, Sarah, you may have got involved.
How about
in
this
that,
one?
You
know.
I didn't play a lot of football, to be fair.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, this one's relevant to you. 56% of people admit that they typically check where their name is in the pecking order of an email or a memo address.
They?
Just to see how important they are. Yeah.
What? I have never done that. I'd never even thought of doing that.
I will now. Yeah. Thanks for pointing
that
out.
Like, automatically, do you know what I have?
Do you know what I have done? I've almost like done the kind of reverse of that. When writing regular emails to people at work, I have mixed up their names.
Have you really? Because,
yeah, I don't know. So when I read that, I thought, oh, that's interesting. I've never looked at my name in the pecking order, but I have fiddled around with the pecking order so nobody could ever accuse me of putting the same people first on the email.
Wow, I've really thought about it.
I think I've done that. Strange, I've definitely thought about the order I send it out, but I don't think I've ever checked it, the order it comes back in.
But it's true. We are creatures of habit. There's no doubt about that. I mean, to the point of, if you give people an extra little bit of freedom, sometimes people don't know what to do with it or become nervous. You know, one office said that.
Oh, I hate it. I hate making choices.
Well, dress down Fridays can be quite daunting for people who have to wear formal attire for most of the working week, and then on a Friday. You see? So you perhaps are quite extreme on Sunday.
So fragile. Come on. Seriously, take some clothes.
My wardrobe is mainly black jeans and stripy tops. That is it, because I'm just like, oh my God, I just haven't got the time or the mental energy to choose.
Because you're in prison.
Something. It's because I live in prison.
Well, she's French.
It takes so much mental energy. I'm just very chic, actually.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's
is that,
right.
Yeah.
Is that decision
you said chic,
fatigue?
You? I couldn't,
Yes, yeah.
Is that decision fatigue?
Go on, Chris.
I've heard, like, apparently, because a lot of politicians only wear the same clothes, because they're just like, I have so many decisions to make, I can't make another one. Like, this is just, like, I just wear the same thing.
Yeah,
every
possibly.
Day.
Possibly. And also, but also, it's the fear of, like, picking the wrong thing.
Yeah, fair enough.
And then, like, later on in the day, I'm too warm, I'm too cold. Like, it doesn't look right. Like, it's, oh no, now we're going out for dinner and I look a bit of a scruff bag. Like, I just hate it. I just would rather wear the same thing every day.
How has your
fashion sense changed
in the current situation?
Has my fashion
changed? Yeah, in the current situation.
Oh, yeah, my habit is now just like the same t-shirt 4 days in a row.
Oh, that's gross.
Yeah, I know.
I thought you'd be pulling out different colours, wearing different hats and scarves, just having a little bit of a rummage around like you're doing play up. Oh.
Same thing every day. Literally, wow. Same thing.
I think you're right with this sort of decision fatigue. It's people like Mark Zuckerberg and those types who wear the same clothes every day because it's just one less decision to make.
Yeah. I'm basically Mark Zuckerberg, but less
yeah,
of a...
Are.
Yeah. Millionaire, billionaire. Yeah. There are a lot of films about me.
It's funny, Sarah, because you seem to sort of crave routine and habit and you very much embrace it.
Yeah.
Some people really struggle with this. There was a psychologist at Yale University said it's difficult for people to accept, but most of a person's everyday life is determined not by their conscious intentions and deliberate choices, but by mental processes put into motion by the environment. And most of the time, we are simply reacting instinctively to the world around us. But you're quite happy. You're happy with the thought that you're just on a, you know, this kind of pathway in which you actually don't have to kind of make a lot of choices. You're not very punk rock. Is what I'm saying.
No, I'm really not. You know what? I would never say I was. I used to think I was really boring, and maybe I still am.
I would never say that I was punk rock.
I've embraced it though, because you know what? Like, there are plenty of other very stressful things in my life. Like, at the end of the day, if I am wearing a stripy t-shirt 5 out of 7 days a week, that's fine. That's mental energy I can use elsewhere. It does not bother me. And if people think that's boring, like, you know what? I would say it's calming.
Right. What about you, Chris? You're kind of, I would imagine you wouldn't want the thought of not being the captain of your soul, as you put it the other week on one of our previous pods.
Yeah. I'm all right with not having too much. I think as I said at the start, like, the beginning of my day needs to start off pretty similar. But then I'm actually right now, I'm quite enjoying the self-isolation and doing all that. Like, it doesn't bother me that all my routines are out the spout. I just create new ones. Like, I don't mind doing new things. As where my wife, I think she's going to go crazy in the end. Because she's just like, she's so productive. She's one of the most annoyingly productive people you'll ever meet. Like, so she will wake up every day. And even now, and I say even now because she's a month off of giving birth. Even now, she still does exercise at 7 o'clock in the morning. And I'm just laying in bed waiting for the crocky. Like, she's just productive all the time. So I think it's going to get to a point where she can't be productive anymore and her routine's out and she's just going to freak out. And I'll be in the corner with my coffee having a lovely old time. So it's fine.
After having brushed your teeth.
Exactly. Well, yeah. I mean, just to give her a treat.
Do you not think her... Because my wife's a bit like that. She's always productive. It highlights my unproductivity. And that's why I don't like it.
Yeah, I'm the same.
But then actually I've learned to embrace it. And now I think, oh no, stuff gets done. Whether I'm productive or... No, I'm joking. I, of course, pull my weight.
I just make up lies. I make up lies about how people like me and you will come up with more creative ideas. Because we sit there and think a lot. And she's kind of bought that for a while. So that'll be until she realizes I don't have any ideas.
I see, I see. Well, habits can be very hard to change though, Chris.
Yes. What of your habits are hard to change, Marcus?
Well, being unproductive, I suppose. And that is a huge challenge at the moment when we are told to stay at home in the current climate. So really kind of like, right, your procrastination is even more obvious. You know, you can't sort of say, I'll go and visit my friend who I haven't seen for a while, or I'll go and fetch that from the shops because, I suppose we will maybe need one of those in a bit. Being challenged on that can be quite tricky. Trying to get into the habit of exercising. See, I got into quite a good habit of exercising and so on before all this kicked off. And now I feel like if I don't reintroduce that now in a new way, I may go back to kind of start again from scratch, you know, which would be
it is annoying.
Very, very frustrating indeed.
I've had a few times where I've been in good habits of exercise, and then all of a sudden you get a cold or something, and then it just knocks you out for a week, and it completely throws you out as you go forward. Then you're like, oh, kind of, I was in a good habit, I was in a good routine, and then it's all gone.
Yeah.
So yeah. Apparently,
go on, Chris.
I was just going to say about Marcus was saying it's hard to get out of habits and routines, but I heard someone once say if you're trying to stop the habit of smoking, then you need to change. The main thing is changing your habit. So it could be the pub you go to if it's, if you're a social smoker, or the drink that you have. So you're used to having a glass of red wine and a cigarette, but you change it to, I don't know, beer or G&T or something. Then that actually helps. But it is breaking the other routines to help you break the negative routine. If you keep it all the same, you basically fall back into the bad habit.
Yeah.
You need to remember the reason why you're wanting to change. And I know that sounds a bit daft because, well, two of the most stressful things in life people say is starting a new job and moving house, which of course it forces you to change your habits or routines.
Or even being just quarantined in a countrywide lockdown.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah.
Nationwide.
But the reason why a new job or a new moving home is scary, and I'm going on presumption that you want, it's a choice you made. Obviously, sometimes, you know, if you've been sacked and you didn't want to, or you've been laid off, and of course that's happening at the moment, or it's very stressful, and moving house. There may be other reasons why you're moving house, but I'm referring to the changes that we've made ourselves, where you've gone, right, I want that new job, and I've gone and got it, or I'm moving house because I want to move house. So these are the type of changes I'm talking about. You need to remember that when it becomes a bit daunting of, oh my goodness, I've got to make new friends, or I've got to get a new commute to work, or I've got to do this, blah, 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 blah. You've got to go, hang on, why am I changing? And that should stop you from going back to the old familiarity, if you see what I mean, of, oh, well, I'll just keep this job then. Oh, well, I'll just stay here. So that's it. There's a book called The Power of Habit. Why do we do what we do in life and business, by a chap called Charles Duhigg, which was a New York Times bestseller. No, I've never read the book. Of course,
I have no intention
of doing so, because I have a bad habit of not reading books. But I did find this. Indeed, yeah. That's the moral of the story. Just stay where you are, ladies and gentlemen. Don't change, you're crying out loud. It's too much of a hassle. So he started studying sort of the power of habit and so on. And he said he first became interested in the science of habits a number of years ago when he was a newspaper reporter in Baghdad. And he'd heard about an army major in Iraq, of course, conducting an experiment in a small town. And the major had analyzed videotapes of riots and that had been happening in the town, and found that violence was often preceded by a crowd gathering in a plaza. And it was quite special to this town. So you had crowds of people gathering in a plaza, and over a course of hours, the crowd would grow in size. This is brilliant. Food vendors would show up, as well as spectators. And then someone would throw a rock or a bottle and it would all kick off. And he noticed this pattern. These were the kind of the sort of the habits, if you like, the kind of the routine or ritual of how a riot would happen. So they thought, well, how can we stop this? But in a subtle way, not just going in heavy handed and you know, because that could inflame the situation. So the major met with the mayor of the town and he made a very odd request. The major just said, can we keep food vendors out of the plazas? Now, again, this is Iraq, so probably different to where most people are coming from. I love the thought of people are gathering and the food vendors are like, brilliant, there they are. Like, we can sell our food. So he said, can you keep food vendors out of the plazas? And the mayor said, yeah, fine, not a problem. So a few weeks later, a small crowd gathered in this place, as it tended to do. It grew in size. People started chanting and it started getting a little bit tasty. And then at dusk, the crowd started getting a bit restless and hungry, and there weren't vendors there to provide for the people who were in the gathering. So people looked around and there were none to be found. So people just started to leave and find food. And of course, when they went off, it dispersed the crowd a bit. And by 8 p.m., everyone was gone and there was no riot. And all they did was just take out that one little thing from this kind of routine and the habit of, right, we're all here together. Right, okay, quickly grab some food and then we come back and reconvene. It was broken. And he found that this was quite fascinating, yeah. And he asked the major in the U.S. Army how he'd figured out that removing food vendors would change the people's behavior. And the guy said, well, the U.S. military is one of the biggest habit-forming experiments in history. And he said, understanding habits is the most important thing I've learned in the army. I thought that was absolutely fascinating.
It's interesting that, like, taking one thing out
can
stop. Like, this is not the same at all, but it just reminded me that thing of, like, change one thing. You know, like, when all this coronavirus stuff was first starting to kick off, they were saying about try to touch your face less.
Yeah.
And
yes.
I don't know about you guys, but, like, just even thinking about it makes me want to touch my face. Like, I do it all the time. Yeah. It's really bad. But I was reading some advice and it was saying, identify where you do it. So, like, is it when you're watching TV that you realize you do it? And it said just, put something else around for you to, like, fiddle with, you know, like a stress ball or just, you know, just any old thing that you can, like, sort of faff around with so you don't touch your face. And it's just that thing of, like, just identify one bit of the process. It's not saying, like, you know, sit on your hands the whole time. It's just saying, like, find a little way to change something and it helps divert the behavior, which I thought was really interesting.
Well, people were trying to come up with songs to sing to wash your hands so you do it properly.
Yeah.
You know, all that kind of stuff. That's trying to get new habits. We're trying to create new habits for the nation here, for the world even.
And you know what? I think we are all washing our hands way longer than we were.
It'd be interesting how...
My anecdotal experience.
It'd be fascinating how, you know, when things change, hopefully for the better in the next few months, what new habits will have been developed, which will carry on. Like, so we won't know what they are now, but it'd be really interesting. So as you said, it might be that we actually become a heck of a lot more cleaner as a society. I'm not saying we're filthy, but it'd be really interesting how you just, you know, over enough time, we start to form these new habits and then they will continue. And then in years to come, they'll go, oh yeah, that started because of that coronavirus episode.
Well, just saying 2 meters away from each other.
Well, it's funny, people who are struggling financially, it's kind of like, the people who are struggling financially, you know, the government is saying, okay, we're going to try and help people out there and so on and so forth. And in a time of crisis, there is a coming together, meant to be. I know there's individual stories that disrupt that, but the general kind of coming together. And you think to yourself, so after the crisis is over, why don't we just continue to do that a bit?
Yeah.
Why then just retreat to what we had before? I know what we had before didn't cause the crisis, if you see what I mean, but I don't know.
I'm all for it.
It's an interesting thought, ladies and gentlemen. So yes, to answer the question, we are creatures of habit. Hey,
yes we are.
Indeed we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers. We do hope you're keeping safe out there. We're going to be recording podcasts weekly. Our normal routine won't be disrupted. If you want to reach out to us, indeed, if you want to reach out to us on social media, do check us out on Twitter and Insta or at AQQAPod. If you want to request some questions for us to ask or get involved there. But until then, thank you very much, Sarah.
Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Thank you very much.
And thank you, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Step
into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.